into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Friday Night Racing.
On Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
And you're very welcome along this Friday afternoon to Friday Night Racing here with Ger and Johnny Ward. We're with you every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock on all of OTB's social channels. The best place to get us these days is on the app. Johnny, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ger. All good?
You were very excited. Presenting Percy was in great form this week.
Well, should be reminded that, you know, the prospect of you and I going on a holiday together, if anyone can go on a holiday again, rests on the shoulders of this horse winning either the Gold Cup or the Grand National, I think. You've been back for the Grand National, have you?
Yeah, because we had his trainer on who reminded us that he was in charge. He was like, I still think he's a national horse, Johnny. I was like, that's good enough for me. You don't. You disagree. You think that he's more a Gold Cup horse.
You're putting words in my mouth there. I don't think he's not a Grand National horse, but I think he's a Gold Cup horse because he won the RSHA, what, 2 years ago now? 3 years ago. It'll be 3 seasons ago by the time he runs in March, but it was very good. I mean, he did nothing wrong. It was surprising that he was sent off 3-1 in the betting because he was the only one of the runners that had actually run this season. But he was brilliant. He won, pushed out by 6.5 lengths or so from Kenboy. The dream is alive, Ger, and hope is a fine, fine thing.
Yeah, especially this time of year. How are you feeling about the vaccines? I think we'll all be gone on holiday sooner rather than later. There's 3 of them now.
Yeah, I didn't know about the third one, actually, but I take any of them. And I've booked tickets for New York in January purely on the hope that Joe Biden can give me a bit of an out and let people go back to the States. What do you think?
He's not going to be in charge until after that.
Sorry, Trump then.
Yeah, not a chance. Yeah. Not a chance.
Okay. But I'll be able to cancel.
I'm with you. I'll take all 3 vaccines if anybody wants to treat me like
a... We need a bit of light, though. Don't we? We just need a bit of hope, like, at the end of the tunnel, you know. And once we can work back from the vaccine start and everything will be grand.
Exactly. And we'll all be going racing every week at that point. This is Friday Night Racing, brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie and you can follow the Twitter account at HRI Racing. The hashtag is Every Racing Moment. Our guest this week is Siobhan Rutledge. Siobhan, how are you?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no worries. We're all very excited. You're in the trophy room in Dundalk, is that right?
I am. Yeah, this isn't my house. I was going to pass it off as my house, but yeah, I'm in the trophy room. They're very good. They set up an office for me, so I have a nice view of the parade ring here.
Very nice. Dundalk is a happy hunting ground for you, is it?
Yeah, I love it here. It's probably one of my favourite tracks now at this stage. I've had great success here, so...
What stage, for listeners who are unfamiliar with your career at this stage, Siobhan, how advanced are you? You're kind of still an apprentice. How long are you riding at this point?
I've only been riding now for 3 years. You could say kind of 2.5. I'm still very much learning. I've had a nice bit of success. I've been lucky in that sense, but I'm very much at the bottom of the ladder.
I'm going to ask a question now that makes it sound like I've been paying attention for the last few weeks, but how far into your claim have you ridden out? How much of your claim have you ridden out?
So I've had 10 winners. So I think I'm kind of halfway there to ride out down to 5. And then we're looking at another good few winners after that then to ride it out completely. So I'm still at the start of the journey.
Very good. But that's not a bad position to be in because, as we've been learning over the last few weeks, there's a lot of trainers out there who really like a jockey who has a bit of a claim, who they know they can trust, particularly with some difficult horses. And that's certainly the reputation that you've got so far.
Yeah, I've had great support. They always say, like, it's good to have a good value claimer at hand. And I don't know if I'd like to think I am now at this stage. I'm well able to handle a tricky horse, and there's a few there that are a bit quirky. I just managed to get a tune out of them for whatever reason, but yeah, it's going well.
Yeah, Johnny, talk to us a little bit about that. I know you've been doing a bit of research about those tricky horses and getting a tune out of them.
Yeah, well, Siobhan, if Siobhan has ridden 10 winners, I think you've ridden 9 of them this year, Siobhan, would that be right?
Yeah, correct.
So that just shows the progress she'd made. But I suppose what's interesting is that she came from, you know, she didn't come from a pony racing background, so she was quite kind of maybe slow to come into the game. Was given time by John McConnell, but I was talking to John earlier, who Julie had a very easy winner at Gorn. In the meantime, he's had a sensational campaign. But he was just saying, Siobhan, that you've gotten this affinity with these horses at home, the likes of Magic Allen in particular, who obviously won Redley the other day, that would be actually quite hard to ride. And his line was something to the effect that you could have a lad at 12 stone at home who can't quite manage Magic Gal, and despite the fact that she was a bit free in your hands the last day, you got a win out for her, and it just seems that almost everything you touch is turning to gold at the minute, hence all those trophies behind you.
Yeah, I don't know about that now, Johnny, but... She's a tricky. She's an exceptional sort of a horse. She's like a pony. She's only about 15 hands. She's very light boned. I don't know where she gets her strength from, but she is very keen when she gets going. And it's just about trying to settle them. I'm only 7.5 stone. I'm only 5 foot tall, so I'm not. I can't physically hold a horse that's 500 kilograms, so I just have to rely on technique in that sense, trying to get her to settle, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but it's been working as of late anyway. So
how much of that is down to confidence? Because, you know, I think you kind of painted the picture quite well there, that you are, you know, a lightweight jockey in the making, obviously, and you're dealing with these tanks of horses that are quite strong. So is it something that kind of, I don't know, that you've been going so well, I guess you can probably confront these challenges with more relish than if you weren't going well?
Oh, completely. I know, I completely agree with that. It's all down to confidence. And if you're riding well and you're getting a bit of success, you approach things differently. You go into something with a more positive mindset. And a lot of the time with horses, that's the pivotal ingredient, is to have a positive attitude approaching it. And sure, if things are going well, they most of the time they continue to go well for you.
I was going to ask about the trickiness. Tell us about the trickiness. Like what different ways are the horses tricky, and how do you respond differently to them?
Every horse is an individual. So in John's, I ride out there on full time. I know all his horses inside out. I'll know how they behave at the races and what they like and what they don't like. So say we'll take the likes of Could Be Good, who I rode yesterday. He can be tricky in the sense that he can be a bit buzzy getting up on and a bit in the preliminaries in the parade ring. But he's not keen, he's fine. So I just have to try and ride him very quietly and just keep him calm. And then you have the likes of Magigal, who she's not sensitive, but she is very keen. So I just have to try and kind of use my surroundings, I suppose, use the railings, use the horses in front of me to try and get her to settle. They're all different, and you have to approach each of them differently.
So Magigal was your first winner, is that right?
Yeah, she was my first winner.
That must have been a huge confidence boost, not just to get the win, but to get the win on a horse that everybody else knows is tricky.
It was the best day. I've had lots of good days since, but that was a great. I was nearly crying with happiness that day, because I suppose you have so many doubts as a young apprentice. And I, of course, was a bit behind the others in the sense that I didn't have the experience of pony racing. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't related to anyone that could give me the opportunities to ride plenty of work and that. So I always doubt yourself, I suppose. And to get the first winner, it affirms that you're doing the right thing, you're in the right place, and you belong here.
It seems that John was very good as well, in the sense that, so you start off with him in 2018, and I know Gavin Cromwell has a young girl starting off now who's ridden a horse called Murrahen a couple of times, and only in her second ride. You might know her name, Siobhan. I forget her name at the moment, but she...
That's Kiana Van Burn.
Kiana, yeah. So Kiana's just... And I was talking to Gavin about her, and... he was on about the horse Murrahin, that it's a horse sort of to give her a chance to basically learn at the track. And in her first ride on the horse, it more or less missed the break by 10 lengths. And then she rode it again the other day, and it missed the break again, but finished third. And it's just that incremental progress. But just talking to John, it was lovely the way he was describing how he gave you a lot of rides, we'll say, essentially on longer shots, and said to the owners, we have to help this girl come along and learn at the track. So I'm looking at your stats. In the first 2018, you had 7 rides. 2019, you had 56 rides, 1 winner, a lot of placed horses. And then this year, the progress that you've made. And it seems to be just down to giving some young riders, like yourself, a chance, because you have come through, not a conventional system of pony racing, and you did actually need to learn at the track.
Yeah, Kiana, she's had 3 rides now, and she's the improvement that she's experienced even in the last 3 rides is great. She's flying, and she's very light as well. So, and she gets a good tune out of that horse. He doesn't have much form either. So he ran really well here 2 starts ago. And yeah, it's important to give your apprentice chances. I know it's very difficult. I completely understand as well. I know I'm not a trainer, but I understand the difficulties that trainers have trying to give apprentices opportunities. I mean, they are under pressure from owners. You can't be throwing away runs on horses that, you might be under pressure from an owner to achieve some sort of results from a horse. And a lot of the time, it's just not the right time to put up an inexperienced rider. So it's hard. It's all about striking the balance between given opportunities and then minding your own back as well at the same time.
Could you talk to us about your dad as well, who must have been, as much as he passed away when you were young, he must have been a massive influence on you. And obviously, was that, I suppose, he was the pedigree that got you into this game in the first place?
Yeah, my father, he was an amateur jockey. He rode in point to points. He rode a few winners, and he trained point to point horses as well. I suppose growing up, I have a twin brother as well, and the two of us grew up, mum as well and dad, we'd watch National Hunt race, and that was where it started. And yeah, I suppose he kind of lit the fire inside of me to try and make a go of making a career of race riding. And that I'd never sat on a racehorse before I was in my mid-teens, even though that we were always surrounded by them at home. But I didn't really kind of get the fire inside of me until after he passed away to go and give it a go.
That's strange as well, because you often hear of the young kids who basically were riding a horse before they could even remember it, or they were 3 or 4. But was it a thing with you that maybe there was a little bit of fear, or was it just something that was a slow burner in terms of wanting to do it, or did his passing kind of change your attitude to maybe doing it?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it was never fear. I was never afraid. I was probably too far the other way when I was growing up. I'd be swinging from trees, and my brother was always the cautious one. And I was a bit mad. But I don't know what it was. I'd just be looking through pictures of him and Ger Farrell, my father's good friend as well. He was an amateur jockey. And the two of them they seem to just have such great fun and great memories, fond memories of race riding and that. So I always wanted to pursue it to some extent anyway. I never thought that I'd kind of get the opportunities that I have been given, but I'm delighted that I have.
So what was your pathway into it then? How did you get into it?
I started taking riding lessons probably when I was 10 or 11. In the local riding school, and I did that for about a year or two. I have to laugh, my mother, she said she wasn't buying me a pair of riding boots until I had 20 lessons, because she was afraid that I wouldn't stick to it. So I'd say she's eating her words now, but once I got the riding boots, I was off then, and I went to race when I was 16.
Right.
For transition.
Okay, so you instead of doing transition year, you went down to race in Kildare, and we've done a bit of race, and we met the apprentice jockeys at our roadshow in the Curra, and some of them have gone on to be already superstars. So what was that experience like, and is that is from that point forward, is it just a guarantee in your head that this is what I'm going to do now?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, when I went down to race, I was quite, I was very shy as a person. I was probably lacking in confidence in every way. And I just felt like when I went to race, I was immediately surrounded by a group of people that kind of got me and that had the same mindset as I did and supported me. And I just grew as a person when I was down in race, even not even to take into consideration the riding side of things, obviously my riding as well. But that's when I knew that I was in the right place and it was the place to be.
And with that, there's obviously a work placement and you get to experience different yards. Because I know you'd obviously been working weekends in yards local to you in Meath, but you spent some time in Johnny Murtagh, I think, when you were seeing out the end of your race course. Is that right?
Yeah, I did my work placement in Johnny Murtagh. So I think I was one of the last of the bunches. We were kind of sent out in groups from race out to your trainers when you were, I suppose, ready to go out. And I was one of the last ones ready to go out. And I went out to Johnny Murtagh's and I just learned so much there. Sure, you probably, like, you can see the way Johnny is naturally. He's just so energetic, so enthusiastic. And he is a great time for young people as well. He has Nikita Kane as well. It's now signed on to him as an apprentice. And he gives her good opportunities as well. She's ridden three winners now for him. So I learned so much there as well.
He's obviously this effervescent character, and he's great whenever he comes in, and we've done loads of road shows with him, and you always come away feeling better about life. But he did also say he's tough on his apprentices, just to make sure that they understand that this is going to be, that they don't make some of the mistakes he would have made, and that they understand it's going to be a tough life. So was that tough as well at the same time?
I never found it hard. I loved going in the morning. I always wanted to work. I just always loved work, and I loved working in Johnny's. He actually came in, he did a talk with us when we were in race, and one thing he said was, "You're always in fourth gear," and I don't know what that just kind of stuck with me. And he's right, like, you're never, even when you think you're burned out, you're always in fourth gear. And that's I kind of live by that.
It sounded like the kids you met in race were, you know, it was just a good time in your life to meet them, because you could come into a bunch of people that maybe were hostile to you or wouldn't welcome you or just didn't care about you. But obviously that was a seminal period in your life that you met these maybe like-minded kids and you all kind of bonded and were better for it.
Yeah, I don't know, was I just blessed? Because we just had a lovely group in race that year. And even the instructors, Niall Byrne, Barry Walsh and Paul and Dominic, the supervisors, everyone there, they were just all so welcoming and all so friendly, and they all were striving for the same, wanted us to strive to be successful. And I just, the friends that I made there now, I'll have for life.
I was talking to John, though. He said you had a brief dalliance with college and didn't really fancy it. Is that right? And then you ended up knocking on his door crying for a job.
Yeah. Sure. I gave it a go. I liked school as well. I didn't dislike school, but I kind of knew it wasn't going to go anywhere deep down. And so I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. But I said I'd go to college. So I went to DCU for a few weeks. Got a tour of the place. It was lovely. I didn't last very long.
But, you got a tour of the place. Did you even finish the tour?
Yeah, that's as long as I was there. I was only there to kind of figure out where everything was. I did geography and human development.
For how long?
I think I was there about 6 weeks. In body, anyway. In mind, I was probably there about 3 weeks, probably.
So in geographical terms, you were sort of there, and in human development, you were sort of there as well.
Yeah. It was a humanities course, so it was divided into two modules. It was the geography and the human development, and I had the hopes of going on then to pursue a career in teaching after that.
And it turns out there's plenty of time to go and do that. Like, you can easily go back at any stage for the next 40 years to go back and do that. But there's a little window here where you're the right profile and there's an opportunity for you to go and chase your dream of being a jockey. In terms of that dream, like what are your goals? When do you set them? Do you set them for the year? Do you have like a long term, this is where my future is? What's that career path looking like in your head?
It's a difficult question because I try to set smaller goals now than I did at the start. At the start, I kind of just wanted it all straight away and you just end up being disappointed. So I'm making goals day by day. My goal today is to get a good tune. I have two rides later on. So just to get a good tune out of both the horses I ride this evening. And I just play it by ear in that sense. Obviously, the next thing to look at is riding out my claim, but that's it's a long way ahead of me, but I'm on the right road to it. So I'll just keep going the way I'm going.
Just one thing on that as well, Ger. I've nearly gone off back and horse at Dundalk that are held up now because the pace of races are so unpredictable, and I think genuinely the quality of riders in Ireland are so good that you rarely get these really strongly run races where it kind of pays to be held up, or you get these horses going off suicidal gallops. And essentially, if you back a hold up horse Dundalk, it nearly seems like half the time, if not more, you're going to be caught out of your ground and they'll quicken and you won't be able to. Your horse won't really be able to get into the race to meaningful effect because of the disadvantage of that position. But against Achevon, yourself and Maggie Gall and Dan Rapide, who comes to mind straight away, you seem to have made light of that. And what is it about that way that you do have this style of riding where you just like to take your time, go easy and let them come back to you and nurse the horse into contention without any panic?
I wouldn't say that's a signature style of mine. I just try to ride to instruction every time I ride. So just for those particular horses, that's the way they like to be ridden. That's the way you kind of have to ride them. A lot of the time you do have to trust that they won't crawl out in front and fly home. Then that always favours the horses that are more prominent. But I mean, here in Dundalk, it's great with the false rail. You kind of swing off the bend. You're rarely stuck for room. So with the dew fan out and you do have a chance from the back to get up through them.
What's the track like to ride?
Yeah, it's lovely. They've redone the surface. I think it's riding really nice. Some days the kickback is a bit worse than it used to be for whatever reason, but I think that'll flatten down with more galloping on it and racing, and it'll all become more compressed. But it's a lovely track to ride. It's very flat and it's fair. It's a fair track.
I suppose one of the main aspects of your success has been obviously that you are of the fairer sex, and I emailed Martin Murphy in HRI, he's probably as good a historian as you'll get in this country in terms of race and knowledge, and just kind of trying to get a stat on the outlier that a female jockey, particularly on the flat, is. Rachel Blackmore's done very well, but you know, you go back to Joanna Morgan. Martin was actually off work, but he got back to me and he said it's just, you know, you've Joanna Morgan, Cathy Gannon, who was the Irish Champion Apprentice in 2004, which I'm old enough to remember. Cathy went on, had a good career then in Britain. Siobhan would be one of the few flat lady riders to make much of an impact, apart from Anne O'Brien, who obviously got injured. But I do find it strange, because if you look at the successes in Britain of Josephine Gordon, Holly Doyle, Hayley Turner, obviously Megan Nichols, just to name four, then you Faye McManaman and other jockeys as well. It's just been strange on the flat over here that there have been so few female jockeys coming through on the flat, and it's encouraging now. You mentioned a couple earlier, but there does seem to be a little bit of a change. And what do you put that down to? And is there going to be, you know, a change in the future, considering there are so many young girls involved in racing in this country in some shape or form?
Yeah, I suppose to answer the first part of your question, I don't know why that there's a few successful Irish female flat jockeys. I don't know why. And I suppose the opportunities, just there are more opportunities in England. There's more racing on. In Ireland, there's only ever really one flat race meeting a day in the height of it in the summer months. So I don't know why. I suppose the opportunities just aren't there. And there's sometimes this kind of prejudice against female riders, that maybe they're not strong enough or they're not. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it's just the way it is here in Ireland. But I think, as Áine O'Connor said before, it's not going to be long before it's a thing of the past with the upcoming female riders that we have at the moment.
Why so?
I just think now they're starting to get the opportunities they deserve, and they're taking the opportunities when they're getting them. And they're starting, well, I can speak personally now, I don't know what the other girls are thinking, but they're starting to feel like they deserve the chances that they're getting, whereas in the past, maybe they didn't.
It's interesting you say that. Do you feel there is, I know you said there is maybe still a bit of a prejudice towards strength or theories in relation to that. I think Nina Carberry, Katie Walsh and the likes of them on the jump side of it, they kind of exploded any notions a lot of people had, because the famous thing in racing was, if you were in trouble and you needed a winner, just get back Nina in the last race and she'd be taking on the lads all the time. But do you still feel that there is a little bit of maybe prejudice there, or an aversion among some to use a female jockey on the flat?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think that there's not, but I know for a fact it is there. Nobody will ever admit that's the reason maybe why they don't want them to ride their horse. I've rang enough trainers now looking for rides to know that a few of them just write you off straight away. And I mean, you'll never get that as an answer from a trainer, that I don't want a female to ride my horse, but I'm sure it is there.
I'm disappointed in that, Ger, to be honest, because I think racing has moved on a lot from the days of Joanna Morgan, but maybe that's not, maybe it still has some way to go.
I'd say sport reflects society. You wouldn't say that we've managed to fix this aspect of any part of our society, really. And I guess, Siobhan, the question is, how do you deal with that?
How I deal with it is I just try and remain positive. I see myself now as an apprentice jockey that's competing for rides on the same horses that the lads are competing for rides on. And look, it's very easy to get bogged down, but it's important to remain positive and just to try and prove people wrong and keep going the way I'm going. I mean, there's a lot of male apprentices that are as good as I am, that work as hard as I am, that aren't maybe getting the opportunities or the breaks that I have. So it swings both ways. It has its advantages as well, being a female, I think.
Well, certainly winning is the other way of exploding that as well. And that has been happening for you this season. In terms of those, and we started out by talking about goals for you, are there other jockeys that you've kind of modelled a style on? I was kind of interested in that as well. And even a career path that they've had. After you ride your claim out, I guess it's your intention to go professional, and at that point, obviously the sky's the limit for you, but then it's obviously super competitive, so you need to, these next couple of years, it's about gaining a signature style in some respects, and being able to use all of the experience that you're getting to have those conversations with whatever trainers you are working with to get those instructions and understand them properly.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of signature style, I suppose, trying to model myself on other jockeys, I was always looking at jockeys that were quite short and small, just not because I particularly like the way they look on top of a horse, but just that's the way I am. So I'm not going to be able to model myself on the likes of a Richard Hughes or Ryan Moore, because I'm just not like them physically. So I kind of tend to look at the likes of Holly Doyle and Andrea Azzini, maybe some of the shorter jockeys, and just look at how they ride and try and mimic what they're doing, and you can't go too far wrong then when you follow the likes of Holly Doyle.
And then the other side of that is actually just being able to have those conversations with the trainers that comes from riding more races and getting experience to the point where you've seen all of the stuff that you're going to have to report back on or be able to take on board. That's really about experience, I suppose, is the question I'm asking.
Sorry, can you repeat the question there? The computer just...
Yeah, sorry. I'm really asking about getting to the next stage of your career is taking the experience of riding all these races and then being able to process that information and share it back with the trainers.
Yeah, I mean, it's all experience. It's all... communication is a big part of the job as well. Like, people don't think that it is sometimes. I know in these times now when there's no owners present, maybe it's not as prevalent as before, but you need to be able to communicate with your trainer and with your horse as well, but particularly with the trainer. I mean, if you're able to get your point across in a clear, concise way, you have a better chance of retaining the ride on the horse, because straight away the owner knows that you know what you want, you know what you're trying to say, and you know what you're doing. Basically, you're not just waffling on.
For someone like you, how much of an idol or an inspiration is Holly Doyle? Because again, it's just a case now of Holly Doyle has just become top jockey, no matter whether she's a lad or a girl, and it's like she's, you know, riding Group One winners, riding the Breeders' Cup and all that, and it just must be something of an inspiration. And I think Irish racing would really, really benefit from having an equivalent over here, which hasn't really happened in my lifetime.
I mean, look, she's class. Like, she is top class. She's so strong. She's so fit. She's so determined. And she is an absolute idol for all of the girls riding over here. Like, we're all looking up to her, and we're all striving to be like her, and striving for the success that she's experienced over the water as well. So, like, she's just unbelievable.
And in terms of your own kind of 2020, what are your ambitions, and can you grow much in terms of weight? You know, a lot of jockeys would love to be a lightweight, but I guess you want to put on a few pounds as well and strengthen up to kind of, I suppose, get more of onto a level playing field as you develop.
Yeah, 2020, I'd say we're nearly finished now with 2020. If I could get another 2 or 3 winners. I always said if I could get 10 winners by the end of this year, I would be over the moon. But now, of course, I want 15 because I've gotten the 10. So if I could get another few winners, I'd be happy. And in terms of weight, I was actually probably nearly half a stone lighter than I am now before I started riding in races. So I've already put on 7 pounds just through muscle I suppose I probably do have room to put on another 4 or 5 pounds if I wanted to. But it's not easy for me putting on weight. You know, I'm so small. But I definitely don't want to lose any weight.
That's an interesting one, because we've had many chats with jockeys in terms of their diet and the challenges one has in terms of keeping weight down, fitness regime, going to the gym. Some of them resort to smoking cigarettes as a weight suppressant and all that. But for you, it's like, how do I actually put on weight? So does that entail a different gym regime, maybe with the strength and conditioning guys?
Yeah, totally. It's you just have to approach it a different way. Gillian down in races, the dietitian, she's been guiding me as well. I suppose it's just all about consuming more protein, really, and doing more.
You listening in here, Ger?
Yes.
Yeah,
and doing more than cardio and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I suppose it's remiss of us not to mention John McConnell, because I think he's had an unbelievable season in terms of flat and national hunt, but just the faith he's put in you and the ability that he's given you in terms of the rides you've had, and also inculcating confidence in you that you are good enough, and, you know, giving you experience at the track, basically, and the two of you just blossomed.
Yeah, John is a trainer on fire now this year. He is flying. He has a nice, really nice group of horses. I think he has it down pat now, the way he's running the show. Things are just going so well for him. And in terms of the faith he's put in me, it's just incredible. Like, I never could have expected to be backed by someone as much as he has backed me. I suppose it's the same in every sport. Like, you can't get anywhere if you don't get the opportunities. And I've just been so lucky that John he's given me all the opportunities when he can, and he's struck the right balance as well. He hasn't given me too many chances early on to the extent that maybe I would overexpose myself and I'm not ready. He's just kind of nursed me along in that sense, and it's stood to me, I think.
And what about your two horses tonight?
My two horses tonight. So I ride, the first horse I ride is a horse called Tagalo. John himself owns her. We claimed her from the claimer in Fairy House. She won over six the last day on soft ground from Johnny Murta's yard. So, look, she ran in the Curra. She ran over six again, and she was just a little bit outpaced on the heavy ground. I don't know for what reason. So she has a little bit of form here as a two-year-old. So hopefully she'll run a nice race. It's over seven today, so it should suit her a bit better. Look, she's a big price. I think she's 18 to 1 or something like that now at the moment. But if she runs well, I think John will be happy. So that's Taglo. And the second horse I ride then is a horse for the Galaxy Racing Syndicate called Stanhope. He's kind of well known. He's kind of famous in his own right. Look, he's a dinger as well. I'm delighted. This is my second ride now for the Galaxy Racing Club, so I'm delighted to be able to ride Stanhope. I ride him out at home. I know him very well. That's over six now. He was a bit outpaced over five here the last day, but he still ran well. So I'm hopeful that the six will suit him better, and he likes the track. He handles the surface, and I think he likes me. So hopefully we can do the job.
Last one for me, Siobhan, in terms of what's next for you, then in terms of actually getting to become a better jockey for you, is it really just about getting into races and getting more racing experience? Is that the only thing at this stage, and maybe the tactical side of things, is that it really, or is there other aspects of technique that you're working on too?
I think I have a lot of improvement to do. I think I have improved a lot in the last year or so, but I still have a long way to go. I mean, my technique, I need to improve that. I need to improve my strength, my race riding. But I'm learning as I'm going, and it seems to be working now. But I suppose it's just about soaking up all the information from all the other jockeys and working hard to do what they're doing.
That's the clip that they'll isolate in 5 years' time when you win the Derby, and it'll be like, there you go, that was that's the bit. That's the hard work and the keep working, even though things are going well for you, message that rings true. It's a really inspirational story. Thanks a million for making time for us today, and best of luck with the rest of the season, and obviously next year as well.
Thanks, Siobhan.
Thanks a million. Thanks for having me, lads. Thanks a million.
Siobhan Rutledge there is our guest on Friday Night Racing this week. It is really an inspirational story when you're butting your head up against a glass ceiling, and then all of a sudden you manage to break it.
Yeah, it's tough, you know. And she references there. She's just one of we do get bogged down in the fact, oh, she's a female jockey, but she's just one of all these milieu of apprentices that are finding a tough journey. You know, if you think of the apprentices who, you know, it's like the really good minor footballer who didn't really do it at senior. The apprentices that, like the top apprentices, invariably a lot of them just don't. They don't have anywhere near the career that you'd anticipate. So then when you think of the sort of the second or third rung of apprentices that wouldn't have the opportunities, it's a very competitive game. And Dermot Wells said to me recently, I think Geraldine's agreed with him, that this is the finest bunch of young jockeys he's ever seen in Ireland. And like, for Dermot Wells to say that, having been in the game for as long as he is, like, so that's indicative of the standard that Siobhan is up against. And I guess there probably still is a bit of a prejudice against female jockeys, but I think it's definitely waned. And I think when Siobhan Rutledge is riding a horse now and it's on the race card and the Racing Post, and someone reads that on the wall in the bookmakers, he's going to see that as a positive, not a negative. And I just love her attitude. It's like the way to deal with prejudice like that, if you start kind of giving out that, oh, sure, it's because I'm a girl, that's why I'm not getting the opportunities. I mean, if you don't back that up with winners, people just start moaning about you. So the best way of dealing with it is saying, well, listen, I've faith in my ability, and I'm just going to go out and ride horses here and do my best. And as you said yourself, winners is basically the tonic. And I think Dundalk is a fantastic resource for Irish racing. For one thing, you know, it's a completely different punting kind of challenge to National Hunt racing during the winter, but it's also just something on Friday nights. Back in the days when the pubs were open, it's actually fantastic crack to go to your local and have a few bets, and the amount of interest in it is really huge. And I've gone to the races at Dundalk many times now at this stage, and sometimes as an owner, sometimes as a journalist, sometimes just to enjoy the social aspect of it. And I'd strongly recommend it. But watching it from home, you obviously have a different kind of, you know, it's a different, yeah, experience at the moment, and watching the likes of Siobhan and Prosper the way she has this year on those horses with John McConnell, who by the way are almost never sent off favourite. I mean, a lot of the horse she rides go off far bigger price than they should. It's been fantastic to watch, and I think Irish flat racing is crying out for a female pioneer of the sport like Holly Doyle that you can literally put up on a billboard and say, this is what Irish racing is about. Well, this is a sport that you can compete against men on level playing field, you know?
Well, and sometimes with an advantage as well. So hopefully we're going to see that generation come through, and I, you know, wouldn't be terribly surprised if we are digging that clip out in a couple of years' time when a few classics are being won. Right, so the Tote, as we know, are doing a 10 to follow for the jump season and has a prize fund of approximately €275,000, which will be shared amongst the top 100 finishers, as well as monthly prizes. We kicked this off last week, myself and Johnny making our selections for the season. There is a live leaderboard where participants can keep an eye on how their stable is going. Check out tote.co.uk/10 to follow, and you can dig it out there. We'll also tweet the link to that. It says here, surprise, surprise, Abracadabras has given me an early lead over you, Johnny, in the Tote 10 to follow competition for the Irish Inter Jockeys Fund. Now, I'm not going to get too carried away. Kenboy failed to land yesterday for me at Thurles, and several of your stable are about to jump into action. But, you know, I'm out, I'm in front this week at the moment. That's what matters. It could all be very different next week. We'll see. The Tote tweeted both of our stables this morning, so you can take a look at our 10 to follow selections for the season. If you've entered a stable, you can also keep up to date with all of the 10 to follow action and the live leaderboard on tote.ie. Do you have anything in action this weekend that...
No. Fernie Hollow won at Gorn. That Abracadabras race was absolutely amazing, by the way. I mean, 2 miles on heavy ground and three horses at the line split by about a neck. Such a fascinating race. Abracadabras almost won despite himself in a way, but both he and the horse that was second of JP's and Willie Mullins, whose name escapes me at the moment, they're both big contenders at Cheltenham. It's just going to be much, much different then. But I thought that race and presenting Percy's race against Kenboy, it's kind of setting us up nicely for the jump season. And there's cracking racing this weekend as well, Ger. So I'm going to enjoy it. I think the fact that you're celebrating being ahead already is maybe a small bit premature. It's kind of like being ahead after maybe 50 yards in a marathon or something like that, and being a little bit too haughty about the whole thing, to be fair.
Well, look, I mean, your recent track record here suggests that you're not going to have any winners anytime soon, so I'm feeling pretty confident about myself. Friday Night Racing is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. One last thing. So when we were talking about presenting Percy, we had Gordon on. He talked about it. We both went off and made our Andy Post bets for Cheltenham. The odds have been slashed since his victory. Well, from 33 to 16 and 33 to 20. It's like, all of a sudden, I feel good about that. I feel good about having these...
This is the beauty of anti-post racing, because you haven't actually won any money, but it feels like you have.
Or we haven't lost any money, which is, you know, not my track record here. So that's going against the grain. That's why I like it. It puts the loss some point, nebulous point in the future. I think we should... The 10 to follow is a great idea. We should, like, literally pick some horses... I'm saying this on air because I say it off here every year and we never actually managed to get around to doing it. Are there other presenting Percys out there that we should be taking a look at anti-post for the big festivals, for Cheltenham and for Punchestown next year?
In a word, yes. And his name is Wide Receiver, who actually runs in the same day as presenting Percy. 50-1 with Paddy Power and other bookmakers. Definitely 50-1 Paddy Power from the last I looked. For the Albert Bartlett, which takes place the same day. So if you were to double him up presenting Percy, you'd definitely be able to go on that holiday. But I like this horse a lot. He ran third the last day at Navan over an adequate 2 miles. I think he cost about $400,000. A race, Jigginstown and Gordon Elliott usually have a shortage price horse in this. I don't think actually Gordon's won the race yet, but he's my other long-term project. Like, that Friday seemed an awful long way away, but I should hope that... let's hope that the Friday of Cheltenham this year is a lot more fun on a personal and communal level than it was in 2020, that way.
Yeah, well, that would be good. And I don't think that would be too hard. Eastkey Lane is the other horse in that race that we were... You don't like Eastkey Lane anymore.
Well, he was obviously hot favourite in the same race, but I mean, and he ran well in the bumper last year behind Fernie Hollow, who won there today, but he was disappointing at Navan. You couldn't be fancying for the Albert Bartlett on the back of that. But, you know, I suppose we all have off days. I know Keith Donoghue, who is such a good judge, was very sweet in him. But, I like Wide Receiver, to be honest. I just think he fits the profile for the race. As a good judge said to me when I was tipping him up for the race, he said he's certainly slow enough.
Okay, on that note. Johnny, have a great weekend. Thanks very much.
You too, Ger.
Friday Night Racing live every Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock on OTB's social channels and, of course, on the OTB Sports app. And then every Friday evening from 8 o'clock on Off the Ball on News Talk. We'll see you next week.
Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.